Okay. Chapter 12, Selected Messages, Volume 3, page 89. Title is Literary Assistance in a Work of Ellen G. White. And it says, while my husband lived, he acted as a helper and counselor in sending out the messages that were given to me. We traveled extensively. Sometimes light would be given to me in the night season, sometimes in the daytime before large congregations. Okay, well, then this is good. Yeah. Because I'm always looking out for it, you know. I love showbread, if you will. So, anyway, she goes on to say, afterward, we examined, or I'm sorry, she says, the instruction I received in vision was faithfully written out by me as I had time and strength for the work. Afterward, we examined the matter together, my husband correcting grammatical errors and eliminating needless repetition. And I could see this with the husband and wife, kind of a team where this does come in handy because, especially when it comes to emails, there's a lot of times, and Fran will attest to this, Fran has a much gentler spirit than I do. I have a tendency to be a little bit more like the Sons of Thunder, and I get a little bit bold, kind of like John Wesley in respect. And I'm not comparing myself to him. I just know how he was and then how the Sons of Thunder were. You know, you kind of like, no swearing, no grabbing people by the scruff of the neck and throwing them around like a rag doll kind of. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm just a little bit bold in my approach sometimes. And quite often I like to ask Fran to read my, there you go. Straight shooter, very direct. And I like to ask my wife sometimes if I'm sending an email to somebody that I know that I want to be extra careful with, you know, for whatever reason. And I'll ask her to read it beforehand. And she'll repair it. Because there are times that she'll soften the blow a little bit. And I could see, this is nice to see how the husband and wife thing was working good with Ellen White, too, with her husband. And like with email, it's always cold to begin with anyway. And so quite often or not, you got to be very extra careful there. So anyway, she goes on to say that it was there, then it was carefully copied for the person's address or for the printer. As the work grew, others assisted me in the preparation of matter for publication. And there's a thought, too. I have got literally probably 1,000 transcripts of my sermons that are online, and I'm thinking of making them in the web pages. But to go through that and cross all the I's and dot the T's and put in the fill, you know, because I have a tendency to go off topic, that could take years. And I kind of guess a lot of that stuff I want to make it to web pages. So I can understand her saying here, you know, others assisted, and there's a reason for that, because sometimes the Lord just keeps giving you stuff. It's amazing. And that's why I feel for Craig. He's got these sermons he's working on. I says, okay, yeah, are you going to preach this week? And all of a sudden, whoa, the Lord gave me something, you know. And so, you know, and he doesn't have a problem with that. And, you know, like, if he's got something he wants to push out in the front, boom, let's go for it, you know. And the same thing with Ace or anybody else that wants to preach. Amen. Thanks, Craig. So anyway, she goes, after my husband's death, faithful helpers joined me who labored untiringly in the work of copying the testimonies and preparing articles for publication. But the reports that are circulated that any of my helpers are permitted to add matter or change the meaning of the messages I write out are not true. So there you have it. She's answering the question. And that happens, I would think, still to this day. Still people say, oh, you know, it's, you know, compiler this, compiler that, but, you know, check your sources. Especially in today's world when, like, even at the Ellen White Estate website, when you buy the DVDs, you got to have to get ready to realize that there's going to be stuff missing, which kind of irked me the other day, because I'm in the Desire of Ages. I like to be, you know, Well, that's just another thing that I'm doing now. I don't know. The Lord's got me doing an awful lot of reading lately. And at night, sometimes, I think it was on page 26. I found an area on page 26 of Desire of Ages that has a dot, dot, dot. But from what I understand, A Desire of Ages is not a compilation. It's one book. Right? It's never been compiled into a bunch of other books. It is a single book she wrote about Jesus Christ. This is why I wanted to read it again. And but I just happened to notice it the other day when I was reading it in my tablet, because I got the Ellen White CD in my tablet too now. There was a dot, 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 and I says, whoa, wait a second here. Why would they take something? This is, why compile this? I haven't had time to go look on page 26, see what they took out, but the area that was being mentioned had to do with the Godhead. So I'm a little concerned now. Oh, welcome back, Zimri. Nice to see you there. So, anyway, let's go to the next page here. We're on page 90, and it says, this morning I take into candid consideration my writings. My husband is too feeble to help me prepare them for the printer. Therefore, I shall do more with them at present. I am not a scholar. I cannot prepare my own writings for the press. Until I can do this, I shall write no more. It is not my duty to tax others with my manuscript. And I got to understand that, too, because I've been asked to put certain things to paper, and as some of you are doing, too, I hear some people, some of the brethren are making booklets. But one thing I've always learned, you can't proofread it yourself. You can't. Guess what happens when the author proofreads a 30-page booklet, let's say? It becomes 50 pages. Or you read 100 pages, you proofread your own book that's 100 pages long, it's going to be 200 pages. The author can never proofread his own work. He's always going to add to it. Get someone else to proofread it, and otherwise he's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Seriously. So, next section is titled, or subheading, it says, determined to develop her literary skills. And she says, we rested well last night. This Sabbath morning opens cloudy. My mind is coming to strange conclusions. I am thinking I must lay aside my writing. I have taken so much pleasure in it. And see if I cannot become a scholar. I'm not a grammarian. You know, someone who understands grammar. I will try, if the Lord will help me, at 45 years old, to become a scholar in the science. God will help me. I believe He will. And then she says, next it says in the subheading, Sense of Inadequacy in 1894, it says, now I must leave this subject so imperfectly presented that I fear you will misinterpret that which I feel so anxious to make plain. Oh, that God would quicken the understanding, for I am but a poor writer, and cannot with pen or voice express the great and deep mysteries of God. Oh, pray for yourselves, pray for me. And the prayer was obviously answered, as we'll find out as we go along, and you see some of the works that she has done, but still, I know this feeling. I remember when I was, because many of you that have decided to start writing, I mean, you ever remember the first time you wrote something down, like you wanted to do like a little report or a booklet or a track? Big difference after 10 years, ain't it? You get this understanding in how to write after that. But she goes on and says, refuting reports of changes in the writings. And she says, my copyists you have seen. They do not change my language. It stands as I write it. My work has been in the field since 1845. Ever since then, I have labored with pen and voice. Increased light has come to me as I have imparted the light given me. I have very much more light on the Old Testament scriptures, which I shall present to our people. So I guess what was going on at this time, this is actually 15 years before she dies, that some people are saying, well, this isn't from Ellen White. This is from the people that, you know, her husband's dead, or, you know, the people that are compiling it for her, you know, because obviously she was saying something they didn't want to hear, maybe. I don't know, because I don't know the context of why they're saying this, because she's not saying it now. And I haven't read all her writings. I don't know. So, anyway, next one, subheading. Final reading of all writings published and unpublished. And she says, I am still as active as ever. I am not in the least decrepit. I am able to do my work, to do much work, writing and speaking as I did years ago. Oh, by the way, speaking, there's nothing wrong with a woman speaking. You know, it's just that they can't usurp authority over the man like they can't be pastors. And you certainly can't preach a sermon on Sabbath day at the Sabbath hour. Later on, yeah, when the Lord moves, especially her being a prophet, you could stand out there later on in the day, you know, and the people gather and hear what the Lord would have her say. I mean, in the last days your daughter shall prophesy. Joel said that, and then it was, of course, repeated in the New Testament. Yeah, look at the roof. Amen. And so, or Esther, for that matter, women of God. So, going on. Let's see. Okay, she says, I read over all that is copied to see that everything is as it should be. I read all the book manuscript before it is sent to the printer. So you can see that my time must be, let me go to the next page, fully occupied. Besides writing, I am called upon to speak to the different churches and to attend important meetings. I could not do this work unless the Lord helped me. Amen to that. So she goes on, in this next section, it's titled, subheading, The Work of Marion Davis, and then it says, Miss Davis, a Faithful Assistant. So I guess she's going to touch on her now. And it says, Marion had been with me about 25 years. She was, this is kind of neat, though, too. This is kind of like historic, like letting us know, you know, what's going on. No, I wouldn't think there'd be women apostles. There are women that saw Christ. The basic definition of an apostle is a leader in the church that has actually seen Christ. So that's why Paul was actually considered an apostle, even though he wasn't there when the 12 were selected. And I'm talking about Matthias, who took over for Judas. Because that was later on. Paul was persecuting the church at that time. So anyway, yeah, elders, if you will. So this one says, Marion had been with me about 25 years. She was my chief worker in arranging the matter for my books. She ever appreciated the writings as sacred matter placed in her hands and would often relate to me what comfort and blessing she received in performing this work, that it was her health and her life to do this work. Wow, it's amazing. That's pretty telling, if you will. I mean, it's how many of us do work we love to do to such an extent that that's how we look at it? Because that's how I look at my work. It's my health and my life. It's why I get up in the morning. She says, she ever handled the matters placed in her hands as sacred. I shall miss her so much. Who will fill her place? And then the next one is subheading, Marion is my bookmaker. And it says, Marion's work is of a different order altogether. She is my bookmaker. Fanny Bolton, and the compilers say that Fanny Bolton is a newspaper writer, after becoming a Seventh-day Adventist, was drawn into Ellen White's literary work and soon after accompanied her to Australia. And she says that Fanny never was a bookmaker. How are my books made? Well, Marion does not put in her claim for recognition. She does her work in this way. She takes my articles, which are published in the papers, and pastes them in blank books. She also has a copy of all the letters I write. In preparing a chapter for a book, Marion remembers that I have written something on that special point, which may make the matter more forcible. She begins to search for this, and if when she finds it, she sees that it will make the chapter more clear, she adds it. So that's compilation there. So there's nothing wrong with that either. It's common sense. If it will help for the people to better understand that which is written, well, then go for it, yeah. She says, the books are not Marion's productions, but my own, gathered from all my writings. Marion had a large field from which to draw, and her ability to arrange the matter is of great value to me. It saves my poring over a mass of matter, which I have no time to do. And think about this, too, by the way, everybody. I mean, they didn't have computers back then, and they had movable type. That's how they made each page. I mean, a single page. Think about this. Because we used to mess with this when I was in art class. I still have the letter. You ever see the letter punches? Because when I used to do building maintenance and stuff like that, sometimes you had to punch letters into certain items that are metal or even wood. And especially if you're building something and then you want to have it manufactured so that the other offices or other buildings where you're running will do we'll build this swing set, if you will, the exact same way you want it to be built. And so you'll put an A on one and a B on the other and stuff like, and you use these punches. They're just little letter punches. Well, they're kind of long nowadays, or like the size of your pinky finger. They're nice and long, and on the end of each one is a letter. That's movable type, only it's got a long extension on it. Back in the old days, it was just a little tiny little thing, and each and every single solitary letter was put in line like that and moved around to spell all the letters on each page for what she said. The printer read what was written and then transferred it to little metal letters. Oh, boy, you talk about a hair grower. That could have taken, I would think it would take all day to do one page. You know, I mean, somebody might be quick. He might be able to do a page and a half. Wow, that guy's crazy, you know. And then of course, the typewriter came, which was more or less the same thing. It just had little tiny little letters on the end of each stick, only this time they were fashioned in such a way where you could bang it onto paper. So, but still, even that would take forever. Nowadays, you go with the computer, just a printer does it, throws it out and spits it out with ink. But could you imagine in the amount of work that these people did in their days? Now, this is what always amazed me, especially when I was associated with some people years ago that just didn't seem to want to do any work. And I kept thinking, are you kidding me? Everybody has got a computer in their house, and you can't seem to get this newsletter out every month. And they forget about it. I mean, they decided we'll go every 3 months, right? But there were times it didn't go out for a year. One time, almost 2 whole years it took to get that newsletter out. I'm thinking, Ellen White put out a newsletter every week, and these things were done with movable type. And, you know, some people just don't want to do the work. That's all it was. You know, they want everybody else to do it. But anyway, she goes on. So you understand that Marion is a most valuable help to me in bringing out my books. Fanny had none of the work to do. Marion had read chapters to her, and Fanny has sometimes made suggestions as to the arrangement of the matter. This is the difference between the workers. As I have stated, Fanny has been strictly forbidden to change my words for her words, as spoken by the heavenly agencies. The words are severe in their simplicity, and I try to put the thoughts into such simple language that a child can understand every word uttered. Amen to that, right? And it's just even like when I was reading the Bible for the very first time. Yeah, it's a little bit difficult to read it here, you know, like with the old English and all that. But if you pray beforehand and you stay at it, the Lord sees that you're really serious about wanting to know, and so he'll start opening it up to you. And then after decades, you'll start feeling that little gentle hug on your heart as you're reading it. It's amazing. But that's what always amazed me, especially when that priest told me 30-some-odd years ago that he says, you got to stop reading the Bible, Nick. It's confusing you. So I, you know, couldn't imagine such a thought running through his mind, but that was a pastor of the Catholic Church, you know, and this is, of course, one of the reasons I left the church. That and the fact that I found out it was a home of Antichrist. But the very first thought came to my mind is, you actually mean to tell me that the creator of all that is seen and unseen, the one that made everything everywhere, everything in this room, just, or even the heart that's beating in your chest, Pastor, he can do all that, but for some reason he's unable to write a book I can understand? That boggled my mind. I just couldn't catch that. Made no sense to me. So, anyway, she goes on, the words of someone else would not rightly represent me. Amen. So she says, I have written thus fully in order that you may understand the matter. Fanny may claim that she made my books, but she has not done so. This has been Marion's field, and her work is far in advance of any work Fanny has done for me. Well, I wonder if Fanny was, throwing it out there and saying, yeah, look what I have done kind of a thing. I don't know. Or could somebody be accusing her when, in fact, she wasn't saying it? I don't know. Anyway, this next section is Marion's caution while working on Patriarchs and Prophets in 1889. And it says, is in meeting early and late devising... What? Starts off kind of weird. Oh, it says Willie is... Yeah, her son. Willie is in meeting... early and late, devising, planning for the doing of better and more efficient work in the cause of God. We see him only at the table when they have dinner. Right. Yeah, people actually used to do that. Sit around a table and eat with their loved ones and talk about their day. So anyway, she says, Marion will go to him for some little matters that it seems she could settle for herself. She is nervous and hurried, and she is so worn, he has to just shut his teeth together and hold his nerves as best he can. I have had a walk with her and told her she must settle many things herself that she has been bringing Willie. Her mind is on every point in the connections, and his mind has been plowing through a variety of difficult subjects until his brain reels, and then his mind is in no way prepared to take up these little minuets. And this is another reason why I feel all of us have to do this every now and then. You've got to get away. I've never had a vacation in my life, and this is one of the reasons I'm going to take some time off soon. I've never done it, and it's getting to the point where this work, especially now since the church is growing the way it is and the emails are just flooding in, and you need time away. So, amen. She says she must just carry some of these things that belong to her part of the work and not bring them before him nor worry his mind with them. Sometimes I think she will kill us both all unnecessarily with her little things. She can just as well settle herself as to bring them before us. Have you ever seen anybody that does that? They like to be micromanaged. And, that's just the way some people are, I guess. But she goes on to say that every little change of a word she wants us to see, which, in other words, she is not very self-confident, but the other toss of the coin is she was specifically warned, don't be adding to or taking away anything that's been penned by Ellen White, because she was getting it, from the angels, from the Lord, actually. She had her visitor, if you will. So she goes on, and this next section is titled, Her Faithful Services Greatly Prized. And it says, I feel very thankful for the help Sister Marion Davis in getting out my books. She gathers materials from my diaries, from my letters, and from the articles published in the papers. I greatly prize her faithful service. She has been with me for 25 years and has constantly been gaining increasing ability for the work of classifying and grouping my writings. And then this next one here is, we work together, just work together. Marion, my helper, faithful and true as the compass to the pole in her work, is dying. And this is, I guess, in 1904. It says she died in October. It was September. Yeah, she wrote this. And Sister White wrote it in September 24th. And then Marion, of course, died on October 25th. So, and it says, I am leaving tomorrow for Battle Creek, yet my soul is drawn to the dying girl who has served me for the last 25 years. We have stood side by side in the work and in perfect harmony in that work. And when she would be gathering up the precious jots and tittles that had come in papers and books and presented to me, now she would say, there is something wanted or needed. I cannot supply it. I would look it over, and in one moment, I could trace the line right out. Isn't that something? Because, it's just kind of like, you ever had a dream, and you just can't remember most of it, and all of a sudden you start writing it down, just so, and all of a sudden, boom, the Lord gives you whatever else was there. So, anyway, it goes on. We worked together, just worked together, in perfect harmony all the time. She is dying, and it is devotion to the work. She takes the, and it is devotion to the work. Why did she put that there? It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit. What's a dangling participle? Does anybody know? I've always heard teachers say this. Is this something that could be? I don't know. Is that what that is? A dangling participle? I really don't know what a participle is. But anyway, it says she takes dangling modifier. Okay, thanks. It says she takes the intensity of it as though it were a reality, and we both have entered into it with an intensity to have every paragraph that shall stand in its right place and show its right work. So, amen. Okay. And this next one here, chapter 13. So, wow, that was a quick chapter. What's this one here? The Testimonies for the Church. We'll pick this up next week, of course, but I'm just wondering what this one's about. It's got a big section from the... Let's just read the compilers now, so you ain't got to read it next week. Well, maybe we'll do it again. I don't know. It just says... Okay, testimony for the church was initiated by eyewitnesses in the Battle Creek Church, as noted in each pamphlet. We, the undersigned, being eyewitnesses when the above vision was given, deem it highly necessary that it should be published for the benefit of the church on the account of the important truths and warnings which it contains. Oh, okay, Joseph Bates, J.H. Wagoner, G.W. Amigo, all these guys, and Uriah Smith, yeah, they all signed it. And then it says, to the saints scattered abroad, the foregoing testimony was given in the presence of about 100 brethren and sisters assembled in the house of prayer, on whose minds it apparently made a deep impression. It has since been read before the church at Battle Creek, who gave their unanimous vote in favor of its publication for the benefit of the saints scattered abroad. Signed. And okay, and everybody else signed it there. And this is one in prayer. The Spirit of the Lord came suddenly and powerfully upon me, and I was given off in vision. I saw the Spirit of the Lord has been dying away from the church. Okay, so it's going to be, I guess it's going to be an explanation or a eyewitness report of when Ellen White was in vision. But Brother Craig just sent me something from, CTBH, page 108, paragraph 2. It says, the Lord has shown me that Sabbath keepers, as a rule, labor too hard without allowing themselves change or periods of rest. Recreation is needful to those who engage in physical labor, and is still more essential for those who work is principally mental. And boy, I got to tell you, I definitely need to get away. I know what that means, because you can get a fresh start. And since I'm thinking of doing like the camping thing or something like that, I can see doing that, you know, once, a couple times, or even a couple, three times a month. Like take a Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday off or something like that each week and just go and get away from it all. And I'm thinking when I do that, though, I'm going to be shutting down the email server just to be safe. So, but, you know, keep that in prayer, because that'll knock down my amount of emails by probably 100, maybe 150. More than once every 30 years. Okay, yeah. Yeah, amen to that. So, anyway, for those of you listening in the recording, oops, I wasn't thinking of sharing all that, but thank you for listening. Hope and pray you're blessed.